show you're gonna knock 'em dead.
Welcome back. The time right about now on your dial should read 9:45 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. The last three tracks you just heard in that set was, of course, Ramblin' Blues by Joe Liggins, followed by Going Down with the Sun by Jimmy Liggins, and, of course, the song which is in every blues jam, that is Tommy Tucker's High Heel Sneakers. In reference to those two brothers just playing, I'm definitely sure you guys could hear the difference between Joe Liggins and Jimmy Liggins' work. Jimmy Liggins with his crazy, wilder, like more T-Bone Walker, but with a tiny bit more gain-influenced guitar, versus Joe Liggins, which was a pretty rambunctious track, but still had those like harmonies from the, what do you call it, the woodwind section, from saxes and whatnot, that were lingering in the background, echoes and big draws from that swing influence. So it's up to you now, I guess, to decide which sound do you dig the most. To keep going on with our, as I did say at the beginning of the program, our blues in the school kind of vibe, our school session of the blues and what academics and what folklorists and collectors of the blues have been doing in their collections and releases of their field recordings have been doing for the blues and the work, I guess, around the academics of the blues. And playing some of that stuff here on the program, we're going to jump to one of the people that I did say we were going to play. This is, of course, from the record, the what we call Voices of the Mississippi Delta. I don't know, I did talk about it last year, but even still, the Voices of the Mississippi is a collection of the work and documentation of William Ferris. Now, William Ferris grew up in Vicksburg, Mississippi in 1942. Now, growing up, he worked on a farm and documented the music and the sounds around his where he lived in his local community. And the archive of recordings that he created and documentary films that he had produced and serve as powerful tools of institutions of higher learning for decades later. I use it a lot actually as a resource when I do a lot of the planning for this program. So that's a very valuable. It's not just like a record, mind you. It's like a whole box set. But you can purchase that and check it out on Dust to Digital's website. They have it all up there. And the videos actually of the interviews and his interactions are actually all up there on YouTube as well. Some of them are. So definitely do go check it out. It's a really, really interesting treasure trove, an interesting resource. And it just goes to show you, you know, especially if you're a kid out there or you're an adult, forget it, who cares about age? If you got a recorder and you hear some crazy sounds going down in your neighborhood, go out there and record and document what's going on around you, fam. There's tons of great sounds out there just waiting to be listened to. And I'm sure the world will thank you for that. In fact, the world did thank him for this work and paid tribute to the artists who are recorded on this LP, including James Sun Ford and others as well, like, as you're about to hear, like Lovey Williams. They did pay tribute to them by winning the 2019 Grammy Award for Best Historical Album and Best Liner Notes. So to get things started off and to just dive into the coolness, I can't emphasize that enough, the coolness of this record and this box and collection, we're going to get things started off with a track called Cold Black Mare, recorded by Lovey Williams on this box set. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
That's a little piece. I like that Cold Black Mare. I'm going to holler that right quick. I ain't going to play it long. I love that home. say. And I know she gonna win a race.
Done for me, on my sick bed.
Welcome back. Once again, those last two tracks you just heard in that set was the Southland Hummingbirds, You Don't Know Like I Know. Previously, before that, was Coal Black Mare by Lovey Williams. Just to confirm and just to discuss a little bit on the subject, and I'm sure it's a question that's probably running through some of your minds as well, is what is the point of these kind of recordings, of field recordings such as these? How is it, isn't it better perhaps to have them recorded onto a proper record label and get that music distributed onto the mainstream radio and to give the artist the credit they deserve rather than having them cooped up in academic box sets, which very few people, admittedly, in the record buying public would buy? And to that point, I would say that is a quite a strong and convincing point. But therein lies a missing perspective here. That is the perspective of preservation. You see, in a lot of the cases, right, where you have blues musicians, like, for example, like Jim Jackson, which we heard earlier in the program, those old shellac records, most of them are gone and lost. If it wasn't for the work of folks at like other record at like companies like Document Records, which emphasize and are built upon preservation of old music and the lost blues artists, if it wasn't for that and that kind of like going, which is very much academically geared in a sense, if it wasn't for that, their music and their work would be lost to the ages. Similarly, if it wasn't for records like this, we wouldn't be able to get a snapshot at the blues at a particular time. Let's make no mistake, the blues that started out with Robert Johnson was very different by the time we reached the 60s. And in keeping preservation documents like these and in actively going out and trying to record this stuff, right, before we get lost to strands of time, we are preserving that music and also keeping a document of where the blues has and where it's come from, such that we never lose track and get mired down from where in the newness of the genre. To make myself a little bit more clearer, I guess I'll let me rephrase it in terms of the social politics of the blues. I often fear sometimes when I see blues musicians go out there and play a really nice T-Bone Walker or a B.B. King lick. Sometimes I wonder, you know, when they play that lick, right, it's not so much about feeling, but do they understand where that lick comes from? The suffering that comes behind that lick, the generations of trauma that back that lick, that guitar line or that vocal line or those words, or don't shake those peaches if you don't shake my tree if you don't want those peaches. Those words, where does that come from? And I feel that sometimes the dangerous thing we as musicians, particularly as non-black musicians, have is when we listen to the blues, like, oh, this is a great lick. It vibes with me so hard. I love it. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it all around tour. I'm going to go on tour and play this all day long. Is that we forget the pain that comes with it and the history and the turf that comes with what we play. And I think, personally, feel free to disagree and feel free to debate me on this. I think that documenting the blues and particularly where it came from and the field haulers which Alan Lomax recorded, stuff like that, shows the lineage from where it comes from, and as well as the pain that goes, and albeit not perfectly, I'll totally agree with you on that not a lot of these recording folklorists do a good job of recording that history that well, but even still, it gives us a record of where it came from so that we never lose fact or never get, I guess, jaded by the glamour of the blues, such that we keep it real. And I think one of the best things about these document kinds of records, and these, not just, I hate the fact that they're academic inclined because they're academically geared, because they should be for everyone and accessible to everyone, which is why I try to do the show like that. But one of the best things about these records is that it also contains interviews of these musicians. And in hearing these interviews, not like the typical pop interviews of, oh, who are your influences and all that sort of thing, but also just what are the everyday feelings of these musicians? What life did they lead? And where did they grow up? What conditions were there to produce the music that they played? To show that, we're going to go and jump to an interview, actually, from this box, Voices of the Mississippi. This is an interview that Will Ferris had with James Son Thomas. And we're going to hear that right now. Followed by that, we'll be playing a song by James Son Thomas that was included in the box set, but I could not get the version that was from the box set, so I had to play a different version. That after this interview, that will be a James Son Thomas's record and his track called Cairo Blues. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
Do you ever think about you got to die someday?
Yeah, I do.
Do you ever think about making a change? Or you already have made a change?
No, I think I'm doing a lot more thinking about it than doing it, actually.
Well, you ain't gonna be like the man in the South. I know he was 40 years old, and he said he wouldn't belong to church, and he said he was gonna juke 40 more years. And when he get 80 years old, he's gonna join church.
He died at 79.
He's still living. Still living. So maybe that's the way you is. You're gonna juke 50 years and then you're gonna join church. Some people wait until they get on the sick bed and join church. Well, they got to do a lot of praying then. Might be too sick to pray. Folks, I know I do a lot of wrong things to myself, not nobody else. I know playing music is wrong, but you do it for a living. I said part of living. And I know it's wrong. And I think about it. You got to die someday. But I'm kind of like this man who's gonna juke them 40 years. I ain't intend to plan how many years I'm gonna juke. But I wants to try to juke up on a little more money for I change. And you can't serve no two gods. Next, you don't know when your time is out. Could be tonight. Could be right now. So that's a hard point. Taking a chance.
Yeah, everyone's doing it too.
That's right.
Everyone's doing it.
And the devil got a better chance, look like, in God.
Wow.
In a way. Because the devil got all sorts of instruments out for you to do wrong. Shooting dice, playing cards, drinking whiskey. Your mind tell you get in your car, let it go 75, 80 miles an hour in a 20-mile speed limit zone. Have a rake and kill yourself while you're young. You hadn't enjoyed none of your life. So I think it'd be the best for all of us to change before you get too old. I sure would like to ask one question. Why do white people want to put so much money in all these big stones, and there are a lot of poor folks out there ain't got bread to eat? I wonder why they would do that. I have been on funerals have truckloads of flour. Next 2-3 days, they throw it away. There's some hungry children right across the street. Ain't got nothing to eat.
Think anybody will remember us that far from now?
They might remember you, not me.
Why not you?
Well, I don't have the money. You got to have money to get a monument like this, like that over there. They threw up a 10 mark on my grave, my name on it, last about 3 weeks, and it's gone. Next 10 or 15 years, somebody else be buried on top of it. box. Ain't able to get a vault. Can't put none of your family in a vault if you ain't got no money. You can't put them in a nice casket.
Just for context, of course, James Son Thomas is here, is talking while he's walking with Will Ferris through a cemetery. Just for context, just so you know.
President.
How would I like to be the president?
That's me.
Nah. That doesn't sound too good to me. I think.
I believe Bill would like to be the president of the United States.
I'd love to be president. I'd have you up to the White House tomorrow before we declare a national blues holiday. Muddy Waters, B.B. King, be the vice president. James Thomas would be the commander-in-chief.
I don't believe I'd like to be president.
Why?
Well, they always want to take a shot at the president. They always think that he's doing wrong. Want to take a shot at him.
You reckon he'll be a black man president?
I don't believe so.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Might be one of these days, but I don't believe it. Because things can't change, you know.
Well, maybe one day there will be one. To go to Cairo, but the water to have a mean. The girl I love, she got washed away. The girl I love. She got washed away. You know that woman got drowning, swimming along after me. Kiro, Kiro, that is a place for me. Kiro, Kiro, that is a place for me. You know the women's all love me. The men's don't lie me round. Money wrong.
used to be a gambler. I bet all of my money wrong. My baby quit me this morning. Don't even have no home. That I'm loving, but she has put me down.
Welcome back. Right about now, the time on your dial should read 10:12 p.m. You've been listening to Hotel de Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. The last couple of tracks you just heard in that set was firstly an interview by Will Ferris and James Son Thomas at a cemetery, and you can hear him discussing his life, his kind of not really his life, but his outlook on life and his worries. And after that, we heard his track Cairo Blues. And now, just a bit of trivia: you heard in the interview how he imagined that his his headstone would be lost, that they wouldn't find, that it would be gone after a few, I think he said like 3 months or 3 weeks. But contrary to that, I'm glad to say that we defied that premonition has been defied. As a matter of fact, jumping back to one of our earlier resources that we mentioned on the program, the Mount Zion Memorial Fund, they put a large memorial headstone on the grave of on his grave on March 9th, 1996. At the Greater St. Matthew's Missionary Baptist Church in Leland, Mississippi. It was actually, funny enough, interestingly enough, was actually paid for by a Creedence Clearwater Revival frontman, John Fogerty, who financed the entirety of the memorial. So, carrying on with our, I think we should take a bit of a recess from our heavier, school sessions of the blues. To do that recess, we're going to jump to Glasgow and hear a band called Anton and the Colts and their track Boy Living for the Weekend. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
Just the ball in the ball. city buzz, it gets me going. You know you get in there and don't care how you get home. There's pretty women everywhere. Well, excuse me, boys, I got a beauty on the line. I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4. Why did you give them me the eye? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I gave you my number, you guess my name. I'm just a boy living for my weekend. I'm washing down, sitting on that old 9 to 5. Going down, you know, the dealers and the shakers and the morning bakers come in time, I gotta have a good time. I got 3 days off and that's all I wanna do. I go 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I'll take myself to the loo once more. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh boy, let's see the lights are bright again. Lord, I'm just a boy living for the weekend. Now I'm washed out, sitting on. Then I call Green John, but my jeans are ripped and I can't find my boots. Sweat wine all over my new rug, and I still don't think I've had enough. I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4. I hear the vulture scratching at my door. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think I need a doctor again, Lord. Just a boy living for the weekend. Now I'm washed down, sitting on.
big hand for Junior Kimbrough.
All right, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do it. That ain't all of it. Thank you so very much, Junior. Yeah, in other words, you do a little bit and hold a little bit back. Showed up. Okay, thank you so much, Junior. Junior Kimbrough and Associates. Okay. All right, play a little music there.
Welcome back. The time roundabout now on your dial should be 10:26 p.m. You've been listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. The last couple of tracks you heard in that set was Junior Kimbrough's number of Nobody But You, followed by Junior Kimbrough's guitarist Kenny Brown playing If Down Was Up. Now, with that recess concluded, it's back in class and for all of you. So now we're going to go back to listening to some of the academic stuff and the field recordings of some of the big folklorists and collectors of blues recordings. So we've covered Will Ferris. We've covered some of the work done by the Mount Zion Memorial Foundation. One of the other big ones we've got to do, of course, is Alan Lomax. For those of you, I'm sure that name sounds familiar. And that's probably because his dad, and Alan as well, his dad, John Lomax, went around the South collecting, was also a folklorist. And he did, along with Alan, compile recordings for the Library of Congress. So from those compilations, we got to hear the first sounds of Muddy Waters and other great blues musicians as well, including, I covered Muddy Waters. Who else? Who is on the tip of my... It just brain farted. Jesus. A Sun House, geez, my brain just farted right there. Sun House and other great blues musicians as well who were documented on those recordings. Now, Alan Lomax followed in his father's footsteps and continued to do folklore collecting and music collecting and recording the sounds all across America, including the Appalachians as well. So we're going to go and turn to some of his recordings now at this time, and particularly the first two recordings you're going to hear in this set drawn from his collections from the northern part of the Mississippi Delta. Ironically, and quite purposefully, I assure you, the sounds, the area where the last two tracks, those of Junior Kimbrough and Kenny Brown, the sound, that area where those guys come from. To get things started off, we're going to go to kind of like an interview and kind of musical track. Recorded in 1978, here Alan is listening in and interviewing and hearing from a fellow named Joe Savage. Now, Joe Savage was a mule skinner, but he also served as an inmate at Parchment Farm. Now, Parchment Farm, I'm sure if you recall, I think I've played that song, is a song by Booker White. It refers to the state penitentiary, which is in Mississippi, which is basically an old plantation that they converted into a prison. Where inmates have to work grueling hours and in terrible, terrible conditions. Now here, Joe Savage is going to be telling you about his experiences there and the music that originated from there. And in doing so, we get a glimpse into the toil and the trauma and the hardship from which the blues came. So here he is, Joe Savage, on his recollections of Parchment Farm. Hope you dig, here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
Man, I tell you.
And I was young.
Back in 1947, when I first came out of the Army, I got in trouble up there at Rosedale, and they caught me down here at Greenville. Now, I stayed at Greenville Jail down there, that old county jail, and got in mixed up with some bad youngsters, and seven of us broke that jail. We saw our way out there. It took us three nights and days to saw out of that jail. I was the last one they caught. I was gone over 5-10 years before they caught me. They caught me at the road there, and they suddenly need a parchment. And I went to parchment, man. That's when the trouble just began. They gone there. I got somebody down there at Lammas. I stayed at Lammas a while. Then there's somebody to Camp One up there on the highway up there, between Drew, right off of Drew and Rome, between Drew and Rome. You know why that's there. And then they put me behind a plow flying a white mule. You better not hit a white mule. Better not put a spot on it.
What would happen?
If you go back to that camp, they'll swell your behind up. And then that mule, he was contrary. The sergeant just had pity on me, you know. That mule could take me and lead me all across that field anywhere he wanted to carry me, boy. And I couldn't hit him. I wanted to hit him so bad, I was scared to hit him.
He had leather line?
Yeah, he had leather. He was no more rope line. No more rope line.
I thought you had leather line.
No, he had no more rope line. But I just couldn't.
Leather line goes back to me.
I just couldn't hit him. I was afraid to hit him, though, cat. I bet not had to hit him. Every time I go in the evening, at day noon, they checking. They have a speck at it checking. See if they have a whip on it.
Well, I don't have none on his back.
Hit him on his ankle.
Had him on under there.
Hit him on the ankle.
I couldn't see it.
Up between his shoulders.
I just stayed behind him and cried.
Oh, shit.
And I just sung a little song. I said, six months ain't no sinners, 2 years ain't no time. Me and my poor buddy, we have 99. And one morning, boy, that old man took pity on me. You see, I believe I let this old black boy go free. One Sunday morning, I thought he was calling. I was getting dressed to go. I used to gamble back in them days. And I was going on the gamble to the end of the porch as far as we could go. And he called my number. I said, uh-oh. So I knew I was finna get another whooping now. So I went back and see what he called me, Little Greenville. He said, Little Greenville, say, he said, you got in his clothes back down? You want to carry home, carry with you? I told him, say, yes, sir. He said, all right. He said, you go get him. I said, oh, well, I'm finna go now. That made a pretty good record there. He said, Little Greenville, say, you too good a nigga to be harbored down. I'm going to let you go free. This son of mine. Oh, boy. And he hollered me out, the whole camp stood up right on the highway there. And I felt kind of funny, strange walking out there among all those prisoners.
Ain't no going on.
They didn't know what was going on with me. They didn't know I was going, and I didn't know. Then I hollered that old song about, oh, boy. In the world again, boy, if I ever get lucky, in the world again, I ain't gonna fool with no more bad women. Just a mighty few men. That's all I learned, boy, boy. That's kind of boy, but I was glad to go.
My name is Boyd Hillard Rivers. This is my wife, Ruth May Rivers. We've been married 15 years, and ever since we've been together, we've been trying to sing. I'm not saying I can sing, but I try anywhere.
My husband, well, his family has a musical background. And I had been singing in church choir ever since I've been big enough to try to sing. But since we've been married, he taught me how to try to sing with music. Well, at first I said, well, I can't sing. And he would say, anybody can sing if you just try. So he would, sometime I would get out of tune or something, and he would fuss at me a little bit, and I might get mad a little while, but by practicing and him teaching me, that's why I do as well as I do now, singing with music. I took music at one time, but I never practiced to sing with music. But he doesn't know, well, he doesn't play by note, he play by ear. He said, just listen to the tune. And he would hit the note on the guitar, and he would say it with his mouth, and then he would get me to, he said, now say it right there. So I practiced a little bit enough. I'm not perfect yet with getting with music, but a lot of times I start off and he'll look at me, and if he looks at me, it's not right.
How do you look at him?
She's very sweet to live with, too. You know, my wife is very sweet. She doesn't fuss when I be trying to teach her. She get angry, I know it, because she get up and walk on in there. But she'll come back and we'll try it again. And we go everywhere doing this, and I love to do it. I feel something when I do this.
Tell me, how did you feel when you come out?
Come out the wilderness.
When you come out.
Come out the wilderness.
When you come out.
Come out the wilderness.
Tell me, how did you feel when you come out?
Come out the wilderness.
Leaning. Oh, we're leaning on the Lord. If I feel like shouting when I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out the wilderness.
Oh, I feel like showering when I come out.
Come out to wilderness,
leaning. Oh, I'm leaning on the Lord. Oh, I looked at my hands.
Hands are new.
Looked at my feet. They did too. Start to walk. I had to walk. Start to talk. Had to talk. Started to sing, had a song. Everybody wanted and what was wrong. Kneel down and pray, had a prayer. Red, then I know that my Jesus was down. If we're still,
step out the
oh, I pray.
Pray not to wilderness.
Oh, I say.
Pray not to wilderness.
Leaning over, leaning on the Lord. Yes, I told everybody when I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
Oh, I told everybody when I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
Leaning over, leaning on the Lord. Oh, I looked at my hands. Hands of no. Looked at my feet, they did too. Started to walk, I had a new walk. Started to talk, sure, had a new talk. Started to sing, had a new song. Everybody wondering what was wrong. Kneeled down to pray, had a new prayer. Right then I know that the Jesus was there. And when I stand,
step out to wilderness.
Oh, I pray.
Pray not to wilderness.
Oh, I stay.
Pray not to wilderness.
Leaning over, leaning on the Lord. Yes, I felt fire burning when I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
When I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
Oh, I felt fire burning when I come out.
Come out to wilderness.
Leaning, oh, leaning on the Lord.
Now you're riding around. Baby, you're faithful, thinking about your mama. Lord, when you drove me from your door, but I get a break, yeah, somewhere.
Welcome back. For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Hotel de Blues with your host, myself, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, playing you my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 10:42 p.m. The last set you heard was more of an academic kind of blues set. I don't want to say academic because that's boring. But in the sense that we've been playing this last program, some of the big names in terms of field recorder folks and folklorists who have been collecting blues archives and testimonies and music for quite a while. on this program, you've heard some of the work of the Mount Zion Memorial Foundation, some of the work of Will Ferris, and on his box set, Voices of the Mississippi. And you just heard in this last set was the work of Alan Lomax. To recap that set in particular, you heard the testimony of Joe Savage and his recollections of Parchman Farm Prison and the field haulers that he used to sing while being kept there. Followed by that, you heard from the gospel couple Boyd and Ruth Mae Rivers and their track "Come Out the Wilderness," and how and another part in the blues histories and the key part of the blues influences is gospel music, and you got to hear a little segment of that in that last track. Followed by that was a different one from a different set of interviews from what Alan Lomax did. The first two tracks you heard were from his 1978 field recordings. The last track you just heard was from his 1959 field recordings. And this was actually the last track that the Memphis Jug Band ever recorded. That was the Memphis Jug Band playing "I'll Get a Break." So now I hereby declare. School is now out. So now we're going to go back to some not so much of the harder academic stuff and more learning stuff. Now we're just going to rock out, you know, give our brains a chance to relax and, you know, process what we've learned or what I've tried to show, at least. I don't know if I was successful or not, or at least what I tried to show on this program. So we're going to go knock off school, take a break, chill our brains out with the blues hit. This is from 1952. This is Big Mama Thornton and her track, "Hound Dog Blues." Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Trouble for